WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. When it rains, it'll pour in Los Angeles today. CBS meteorologist Rob Marciano says it could trigger mud and debris slides in areas hard hit by last month's wildfires.
There's been preps going on all day, all week, really, in anticipation of this well-forecast atmospheric river, which has already brought over 4 inches of rainfall to Northern California, specifically just outside of San Francisco.
Police in Germany say at least 28 people were hurt when a 24-year-old Afghan suspect plowed his car into a crowd of union demonstrators in Munich. The BBC's Damian McGuinness.
We don't know the motivation. Nothing has been said about any potential political affiliation or ideology.
The European Union pushing back against President Trump's plan to negotiate an end to the war in Ukraine with Vladimir Putin. EU Foreign Policy Chief Kaja Kallas.
Any quick fix is a dirty deal, and it will just simply not work.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com. For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Two things happened simultaneously in the Wisconsin State Supreme Court's consideration of the anti-union law called Act 10. First, Liberal Justice Janet Protasiewicz decided against recusing herself. Republican lawmakers made that request because she voiced opinions about the law during her 2023 campaign. At the same time, the entire court declined to hear the case, for now. The court's decision means the case that seeks to restore collective bargaining rights to teachers, nurses, and other public workers will have to go through the lower appeals court before it is considered by the state Supreme Court. And a federal judge issued an emergency order temporarily stopping Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency from accessing personal data over the weekend. Lisa Hale has more.
The order stems from a lawsuit filed on Friday by Wisconsin and 18 other states, arguing that the Department of Government Efficiency does not have the legal authority to access Treasury Department records. The emergency order also requires the department to destroy any personal information it has already accessed. Another hearing on the case is scheduled for today.
And Harry Dunn, author, activist, and former U.S. Capitol Police officer, called out legislatures, candidates, and leaders who do not condemn the over 1,500 pardons issued for the January 6th insurrections by President Donald Trump.
Listen, anytime I get the opportunity to push back against individuals that are downplaying, whitewashing, diminishing, flat out lying, or trying to erase what happened that day, what me and my coworkers went through, that fails to condemn these pardons. That should be easy. That should be easy. It's not left or right. It's right or wrong.
Dunn was in Green Bay Wednesday speaking at the Greater Green Bay Labor Council. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Bucks pull out the win in Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It went down to the wire. The Bucks holding on to win 103-101 over the Timberwolves. Doc Rivers challenged the Bucks defensively before the game to hold Minnesota to 100 points or less.
You know, it's funny. We set a goal and we didn't get it, but our goal was to hold them under 100. And they got 101. That's why the guys were like, no, yo, that was a goal for us going into the game. We knew scoring with the offense that we had out would be rough, but we thought we could really win the game with a defensive effort, and that's what we did.
So Milwaukee heads into the All-Star break in fifth place in the East with a record of 29-24. Baseball. The Brewers signing Tampa Bay Rays lefty Tyler Alexander to a one-year deal worth over $1 million. Meanwhile, Brandon Woodruff says he is on schedule to return from Tommy John surgery.
Listen, I'm healthy. I'm coming into camp healthy. I just have to take different steps than everybody else. And when I'm ready, I'll be ready.
That's Brewers pitcher Brandon Woodruff. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 11 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, 11 below zero. Tomorrow, snow will kick in the afternoon with snow likely tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night, into Saturday. And there could be several inches by the time it ends Saturday afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
The temperature now is zero.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This week on The Rational Revolution, our dear friend Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner brings Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn to talk about January 6th.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
We are up a couple of degrees. Now it is 2 degrees above zero with a wind chill of 11 below at our downtown Wausau studios, our WXCO studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. I am Chad Holmes. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. You can also tune in by going to our YouTube channel, the WXCO YouTube channel, not the Civic Media YouTube channel, but the WXCO YouTube channel. If you go to the Civic Media YouTube channel, you'll be seeing Earl Ingram at this point. But we have our own 98.9 WXCO channel now. So tune in there. You can add your comments, be able to be part of the show. You can also send us a text or give us a call at 715-382-9297. 715-382-9297 to be part of the program. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to talk some hockey. Last night on the Big High School Sports Show, one of our guests was Jana Wimmer, head hockey coach of the Central Wisconsin Storm. We cover the Storm here on 98.9 WXCO. Had them in a big game last Saturday when they defeated third-ranked Superior 2-0. Gave the Storm a number one seed for the upcoming playoffs. Saturday night, Storm will travel to the Green Bay area, take on the number one ranked team in the state, the Bay Area Ice Bears. Number one versus number two, rematch of last year's state tournament championship game. Could be a preview of a state tournament championship game as well. 7:20 for the pregame, 7:30 for the opening faceoff Saturday night, Storm and the Bay Area Ice Bears. Talk about her team, talk about the challenges, talk about the playoffs, talk about a whole bunch with Jana Wimmer coming up in just a few minutes. And then we will wrap up the program by doing what we do every day, our daily history lesson. We'll talk about some of the famous events that have occurred on this date in history, talk about some of the celebrities celebrating birthdays, talk about some of the special events going on, and then, of course, we will finish things off with our number for the day quiz. And the person that takes the quiz every day is our in-studio engineer, our in-studio producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Well, right now you're right on the cutoff.
Yes, and now the pressure is building.
Yeah, we give Ian three choices. So based on the math, he should get 33% correct. And 33% and above is a passing grade. Below 33% is a failing grade. We like him to be better than that. We like to have him get more right than wrong for a week, which would be 3 out of 5. That's a winning week. His all-time best week is 4 out of 5 and still looking for that perfect 5 out of 5 week. But so far this week, you are 33%. One out of 3. Got it right yesterday.
Thank goodness for that.
That means you need one of the final two correct in order to secure a passing grade.
And if you get both of them, I make it a successful week.
A winning week. So, still lots on the table when it comes to our number for the day quiz.
What is the topic for today's number?
The topic for the number for the day is Americans' savings.
Americans' savings.
Yep. Americans' savings.
Ooh. Yeah, I try not to overthink that one.
You say that every day, and every day you do overthink it.
I do. I tell myself not to overthink it. And as soon as we get to the, question, I just have to overthink it. Well, yesterday went well for me because Bob Wick was sending me positive vibes, and you told me to trust my mind.
I focused you.
Trust my gut. And I was able to pull it out.
There you go. So hopefully we can make it 2 correct in a row today, secure that passing grade, and then look forward towards a winning week. So that will be coming up at about, 9:55, 9:56 or so. So
my dad was actually quite surprised with the number yesterday because he thought it was the middle number.
Ah, glad he wasn't sending you any suggestions. Earlier today,
my mom didn't understand the question at all because she thought it was pretty silly, which it does sound a little silly, you know, the amount of people who get injured by musical instruments.
I know it is. It was some days, you know, some days are more serious, some days are silly. And I gave you the option. I said, do you want one that's kind of odd? And you said, yep, and it worked out for you.
An odd question for an odd person. I like it.
Yeah. Earlier in the day, we talked about, again, my visit yesterday to the brand new Wendy's over in Schofield yesterday. I couldn't wait. It was like day 2, and I thought, I'm not going to go on day 1. Because I thought, it's going to be way too busy on day 1. Maybe day 2 at lunch, it'll be a little less busy. It was really, really busy. And I mentioned the fact that the parking lot was filled, the drive-thru was filled, there was a line in there, and not a lot of seating, but able to get a seat and enjoy my lunch. And I said, hey, I would love to see Chips Hamburgers come to Wausau. I'd love to see an A&W return to Wausau. And again, we'd love to hear what restaurant would you like to see come back to the Wausau area or come to the Wausau area. Let us know. 715-382-9297. Send us a text. Give us a call. 715-382-9297. And what did you say that you would like to see? Krispy Kreme was one.
Yeah.
I would love to see that, too.
One of them. We got a suggestion from a listener in the first hour saying he would like an Outback Steakhouse.
And I forgot to look. I was going to look and see where
I'm
the
think of some other
Wisconsin Outback
restaurants.
But
be interesting to have a Chuck E. Cheese's.
I thought that would be.
That'd be good for families, especially for kids. But yeah, I can't think of any like restaurants back in the day that were very popular that we should bring back. But I'm sure there's a lot of them.
All right, looking here. Oh, there's some Outbacks. There's actually, it looks like there's one actually in the area. According to this, again, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong, but, that's Cedar Creek Grill. That's not enough.
You know, a restaurant I would like to see in the Wausau area is Chili's.
Oh, Chili's.
The Chili's would be going.
But Chili's went out of business, I thought. And then I thought I heard recently in the last year that it was actually being reconstituted. We are going to, but it was like, and did you know that Chili's, one of the original owners was the great Green Bay Packer, Max McGee?
Really?
Yep.
Awesome. I did not know that.
According to the web, there's a Chili's in Stevens Point. So you can go down to Stevens Point and see.
They actually have a really cool a restaurant in Stevens Point. It's called Monk's. Monk's is like a... When I say Monk's, I'm talking about like monkeys.
I've not heard of that one.
No, that is a nice place. We actually went there as a celebration after one of our escape rooms that me and my group did. A very good restaurant. Lots of good food.
And I know a lot of folks are getting ready to probably go out, have a beautiful dinner tomorrow night with their significant other for Valentine's Day. It's going to be a bit of a hairy drive if you go out, though.
Yeah.
As I think Brittany said, maybe it'd be better to stay in. Cook for that special person. So, you know, stay home and make a great meal, because tomorrow we are expecting a significant snow starting at about 3 p.m. And it should be done by, you know, late in the evening, early morning hours Saturday. And then Saturday, mostly cloudy. But it looks like anywhere from 4 to 7 inches could be possible. Yeah. Could be more, Brittany says, especially south. So if you're heading south, you may want to keep an eye on the forecast. But again, some more snow on the way. And good for the sledders, good for the cross-country skiers, good for the winter sports enthusiasts.
So, not very good for driving.
No, not good for driving. It doesn't take much to make the road slick. I mean, even last night when we left the big high school sports show, I drove home. It was a little slick out there.
Yeah, it was.
And we didn't get that much snow yesterday.
No, I think we only got like...
inch or two? I don't know.
I'd say an inch and a half to 2 inches probably. It wasn't a lot.
Yeah, it doesn't take much
to make the roads a little dangerous.
Quick note that tonight we have high school hockey. The Wausau West Warriors, number 5 ranked in the state, taking on the number 3 ranked team, Nina Hortonville Menasha. Final game of the regular season for Wausau West. We will have live coverage of that one, starting with the pregame show at 6:50 and the opening faceoff at 7 o'clock. That is Wausau West hockey at Nina Hortonville Menasha tonight. Tomorrow night, it's going to be fun because myself and I'm going to have Jeff Gress join me tomorrow night. Marathon High School basketball, the Marathon Red Raiders in a boys and girls doubleheader, taking on the Phillips Loggers. And normally, I do these games by myself. And this week, did a game with Bob Look on Tuesday, hockey. And Friday, going to be doing the basketball with Jeff Gress. The boys will be first. We'll be on the air at 5:30 for the pregame. And then the girls will follow. And it'll be fun. Me and Jeff Gress teaming up. We do it on the big high school sports show. And we'll do it for the marathon basketball games tomorrow night here on WXCO.
Should be some good games.
And then on Saturday, mentioned Central Wisconsin Storm, number 2 ranked team in the state. A state championship game rematch against the number 1 ranked Bay Area Ice Bears. 7:20 for the pregame Saturday night. Right here on 98.9 WXCO and online. We'll talk about that game and a whole bunch more with the head coach of the Central Wisconsin Storm, Jana Wimmer, coming up next here on 98.9 WXCO.
Listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Yamato, the drummers of Japan return to the Grand Theater in Wausau with their Power of Human Strength tour. Experience the explosive energy of these talented musicians when they take the stage on Friday, March 7th. With more than 40 different taiko drums, Yamato engulfs the audience in energetic sound. Yamato. Tickets at grandtheater.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The New Hampshire legislature has proposed various schemes over the last decade to keep liberal-leaning college students living in the state from voting in elections. Most have failed, but no fewer than three voter suppression bills are before the legislature this year. A 2020 New Hampshire Supreme Court decision overturned a previous law, SB 3, and preserved the current rules allowing college students to use their dormitory or off-campus address as their legal domicile for voting purposes. As of last November, an official student ID could still be used as identification. That could change with HB 323, which eliminates school-issued identifications as acceptable means for ID for voting. SB 223 has been tried before. It allows any student eligible to vote in New Hampshire to qualify for in-state tuition at any state university system campus, but also eliminates college-issued IDs as a form of identification. HB 289 challenges the definition of domicile again. Previous bills tried to outlaw dormitories as acceptable domicile, require a car registration, or to have a New Hampshire driver's license. HB 289's latest tactic prohibits domicile status for anyone who is legally a dependent at an address outside the state. We've linked to local reporting and the text of the bills at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
A year ago, the Central Wisconsin Storm were state champions, and last night had a chance to talk to their head coach, Jana Wimmer, on the Big High School Sports Show with Jeff Gress, and started off by asking, after last season, losing a top scorer, losing a couple of goalies, but having a lot of other players back, expectations for this year.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think, you know, kind of like you alluded to, you know, we knew coming in that we were going to obviously lose Tristan and, you know, lose a quality defenseman in Maddie DePoint and, you know, some senior leadership that we had. And it was, you know, obviously, as you know, a last minute kind of thing with our goaltending situation, an unfortunate one at that. So, you know, that was something that we, I don't think any of us were really prepared for. Right. And, you know, obviously weren't super thrilled about it at the time. And any time that, you know, you lose a quality senior, a quality goaltender to things outside of their control, you know, is hard on everybody. But, you know, we've had two freshmen that have answered a bell that I don't think that they were prepared to, that they didn't know they were going to have to step up to this year. You know, obviously we thought we'd maybe have a backup goalie in Ilsa too, and she got a chance to play with the Chicago Mission. So, you know, you went from having probably the best goalie in the state, an all-state goalie, and a very, very quality backup to you're looking at two freshmen on day one of practice. And I just can't say enough about how hard they've worked. They've pushed each other throughout the year. I think it's made our whole team, though, step up a little bit and rally around them, too. I mean, giving up only 12 shots to Superior, I think, was something pretty fantastic. So you can just see that we're blocking a lot more shots this year. I think our D-zone stepped up a little bit this year, kind of just knowing that difference you were going to have. And, you know, when you looked at coming in this season, you knew we had that super talented senior group, and you were going to ride and die by them. And, you know, they've answered the bell. We've had, you know, a bunch of other kids that have stepped up. Like I said, our freshman goalies have stepped up. And I'm super proud of the way that they've grown throughout the year, especially with some of the unknowns that I think we all sat and faced the first couple weeks.
Real quickly before you jump in, Jeff, he's a coach, you're a coach. One thing you hate is the unexpected. You have plans. You go through the offseason getting ready. And I don't know how deep you want to go into it, but how did you handle it? How did you and your coaches, before even getting to the kids, when you found out, number one, that Ilsa was not coming back, and then obviously losing Claire even later, how did you try to get through that in order to have the least amount of disruption possible?
I mean, obviously, as a coaching staff, we talked a lot about it, and I was able to talk to some other coaches that knew, you know, both the girls that were coming in as freshmen pretty well, and just kind of get a feel for them, for their personalities, and, you know, how they were going to fit in, how they were they going to be able to answer that bell. You know, you're coming into the defending state championship program, and all of a sudden, it probably feels like you have the weight on your, you know, the weight of the world on your shoulders as well, that you weren't exactly maybe prepared for as a 14-year-old girl. So, you know, I got the chance to talk with both of them. We gave Claire the opportunity to tell the team at that moment about, you know, her situation, and got the chance to talk to our freshman goalies. And it's been a constant conversation throughout the year. You know, I mean, it's the two of them for 4 years, you know, competing against each other, but hopefully supporting each other and pushing each other. And that's kind of been the message that we've had all year. So I think that everyone handled it well. It was, you know, conversations from the coaching staff down to the captains to the seniors and kind of on down. And once it was addressed and once you knew that that's what was happening, we didn't have to talk about it much again. It was, this is what it is. This is where we are. And, you know, we can rise to this challenge and we can support them and they can step up and do their best. And that's all you can ask. And I really feel like that's what the whole team has done from top to bottom.
And now that Chad took my one hockey question, because that's all my knowledge was, I was going to ask about the difficulty, because it's so unlike any, it's not like other sports. Like if you're coaching basketball, unless injury or sickness, your team's there. Those kids and most of the time are there throughout the whole season, and they're not leaving for different reasons that are earlier because of other opportunities. So it sounds like there's been a lot of reflection, a lot of conversation, and I think that that's a testament to how the effort from the coaches, how well you know your kids, the success that you've reaped because of that. I guess my biggest thing is, what do you really like about this team right now? Because you guys have held it together. You're in a great spot. Did you say number one seed? Sorry, just checking to make sure I'm sure. Number one seed. So you guys have done outstanding despite the things you've had to battle through. And I hopefully always people from all aspects of the program appreciate that level of effort, because if you're in the mix of it, it's not always easy to balance all that. So what do you really like about this team right now that you guys are doing very well?
I think they're playing really great hockey. You know, I think that they've all, it's so different, and it's something that actually we talked about before our Superior game. It's a different group of girls, you know, and it's like you get that obviously every team, every year you have the different group, and trying to figure out how they gel and how they vibe can be such a challenge. And our group last year was a little bit more serious and a little bit more, you know, just zoned in a little bit differently. And I looked at these girls that practiced before our Superior game at Green Heck, and they were like so tense. And this is not a tense group. And we turned on music and we played 3-on-3 for the last 15 minutes. Like they just need to have fun. They play better when they are loose. They play better when they're laughing. They play better when they're joking. And as a coach and as me as a person, it goes against everything that I do. Like I am a serious, like, let's be quiet, let's focus person. But that's just not how this group works. They're having dance parties in the locker room and they're having fun. They're getting along really well, which for, you know, 29 high school girls says a lot. You know, they have their moments that we all do, but they've got along. They've figured out kind of just what makes them tick, and it's being loose, it's having fun, it's having fun playing the game. And I think that just speaks volumes to what they've done. That's what they've done all year. They've gone out, they've been loose, they've answered the bell, but they've been ready to go in their own way, and they've been playing really good hockey. I feel like the last 2 weeks we've moved the puck as well as we have all year. You know, obviously we've changed up lines here and there, and I don't know, maybe we'll try something again in the next couple of days before we hit playoffs. But they're communicating well, they're getting along well, and it's all just translating to how they're playing on the ice.
And actually, real fast, it brings up an interesting point, because you mentioned the fact that because you played that game now, you found out something about this group. They did get tense beforehand. Sometimes when I look at your schedule, I'm thinking, well, is it a good thing to play Superior so late because you could play them again? Is it a good thing to play Bay Area again in the last game of the season and then maybe play them again? It sounds like you learned something there that maybe you're going to be able to use in another pressure situation coming in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I definitely think we did. And it's something I think I've kind of known, but it was the first time in a long time we've had, you know, a big game with kind of a lot on the line. It's obviously the number one seed in the section was on the line. You knew that this was a team you're probably going to have to beat to get to state, a team that, you know, is anywhere ranked between 1 and 3 with us the whole year, a team that we upset last year. So it was the first time that I felt like there was really a lot riding on one game, and we had talked about it and talked about it and talked about it, and it just kind of I just felt tension. Like they were so focused on it, which was a good thing, and in my mind it was a good thing, but for them they just needed to let loose a little bit and just have fun, and that's what this group has kind of been all about. So I think we learned a lot. I think we learned a lot in preparation for the game, and I think we learned a lot in the game too. And you know, I think it's good to play these games late in the year, kind of see where you're at.
We'll have more with Coach Jana Wimmer of the Storm after an information update on WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlau. The annual American Birkebeiner Race held in Sawyer County will take place as normal this year, thanks to some last-minute snow. And with another 5 inches or so expected to hit Hayward tomorrow, race officials say participants will be able to complete the full traditional course after being forced to change it last year. The full course begins in Cable and takes thousands of skiers all the way to downtown Hayward. But with lackluster snow conditions in 2024, it forced organizers to create a loop stuck in the Cable area only. Now, the Berkey staff says they'll continue to monitor the course for any changes that could pose safety risks for racers. But it sure sounds like Berkey fever is on. The race is set to take place on Saturday, February 22nd. And don't forget to bring your cowbells. And sturgeon spearing stories are spreading. Lisa Hale has more on The Catch.
The first 4 days of the sturgeon spearing season saw 408 sturgeon harvested throughout the Lake Winnebago system. The upriver lakes are about 55% of the way to the harvest cap, but on Lake Winnebago, the cap is in no danger of being reached yet. The sturgeon spearing season runs through February 23rd or until the harvest cap is reached, whichever comes first.
And go figure, Mother Nature is showing her love and bringing heavy snow to the state for Valentine's Day. It'll start tomorrow in the afternoon and ramps up into the evening. Accumulations look to reach up to a half of a foot for most areas, and up to a foot is possible through Saturday in some spots south. So right now is a good time to gather supplies and make sure that you have everything you need for not only yourself, but others as well. See if neighbors need a hand, if they have enough groceries and pet food, and I'd seriously reconsider going out on a date. But if you do, have an emergency kit in your car. Things like kitty litter for traction, a shovel, extra hat and gloves, hand warmers, blanket, flashlight, and battery banks are perfect. And as always, drive slow and don't be in a rush. I'm Brittany Merlau for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Although it's been nominated for Best Picture and several other awards, there was a point when Timothée Chalamet thought A Complete Unknown would never get made. The Bob Dylan biopic was announced by director James Mangold in 2020, but was shelved due to COVID. It eventually found its way to the big screen 5 years later. Chalamet said that gave him time to learn how to play the guitar and to sing. That might just be what puts him over the top in the race for Best Actor as well. Stand by. In an age where it can take years just for a TV show to get renewed, that is not the case with the show Reacher. The popular streamer returns for season 3 February 20th, barely 1 year from the debut of season 2. Reacher fans appreciate the aggressive shooting schedule, I'm sure. 8 new episodes will drop one at a time, sigh, on Amazon Prime. I saw the trailer for the new season the other night, and somehow they found a man bigger than Alan Ritchson to be his nemesis. Hope it's better than season 2. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 11 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, 11 below zero. Tomorrow, snow will kick in the afternoon with snow likely tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night into Saturday. And there could be several inches by the time it ends Saturday afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. The temperature now is zero.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, we will recap the status of the Trump administration's multiple court cases. Plus, why don't Republican elected officials want federal cuts in their states? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
And now we continue with Jana Wimmer talking about the offensive firepower the Storm has shown this year.
I'd be lying if I didn't tell you. I was a little surprised by it. You know, you lose your leading goal scorer from last year. And obviously, I knew we had a lot of talent, a lot of quality girls coming back. But scoring wasn't always, you know, all of their forte. And I think my assistant coach, Savannah, looked at me last week at practice. She goes, did you know we've scored 110 goals this year? And I was like, what? And I just, they've been moving the puck so well. And I think that that's where it all stems from. We have a lot of girls who aren't always are looking to pass, aren't always looking to shoot, who are, you know, making the smart hockey play. And it's a group that on most days doesn't care who gets the credit. And they've just been playing really well. They've been moving the puck. We've preached all year, you know, no shot's a bad shot. You know, take the shots when you can. Don't pass up an okay shot for what you think is going to be a better shot, because usually it's not a better shot and something else happens in those
coaches always
5 seconds.
Say there's never a bad shot, right?
Exactly. So, you know, yeah, I'd be lying if I didn't say I was a little surprised by the amount of goals we've been putting up. I mean, even our D have been, you know, doing a good job scoring. They've been doing a really good job moving the puck. And Gabby and Jaden have just played, I mean, outstanding this whole year, and the way that they've moved the puck, the way that they've played together. It's been fun to watch. It's been fun to be a part of.
You touched as well earlier about the experience on the blue line. We had Ava on the show a few weeks ago, a very impressive young lady. Also had Gabby earlier in the season as well. But you have to feel really good having experience on the blue line, especially when you have the two freshman goalies to have those upperclassmen there. Talk a little bit about your defensemen and who's stood out for you as well.
I think all of them. They're all, you know, we have 4D that we roll through, and all four are seniors. And, you know, we made the move about halfway through the year to move Sophie Boleyn back to D. And I couldn't ask for better kids. Honestly, I couldn't. And they're all different. They all play different. But they're all so solid. Taylor Friedel is so solid on the blue line. You just know what you're going to get every single day. Ava Rohde, you know, even Michaela and Sophie are on any team. They're the best kid on the team. They're probably, you know, three of the top 7, 8 D in across the state. And when you can look at your blue line, especially, you know, having the freshman goalies, but just knowing that that's who you have back there and that you can trust them, that we can, it gives us an opportunity to be able to hold the zone on other teams a lot. We don't give up the blue line a lot. We don't give up our zone a lot. We're able to close the gap a little bit better. We're able to really stand other teams up at the red line, at the blue line. And just even in terms of breaking the puck out, you know, when you have four seniors back there, they don't panic. They take their time. They're all such quality hockey players, but they take their time. They take their what's given to them. And, you know, when you're nitpicking with them, it's little things here and there throughout the season. And I'm not saying that we don't ever harp on them, because, you know, we definitely do here and there. But, you know, it's little things. It's just a little way to make their game better. But, I mean, I would take our 4D, you know, against anyone in the state.
Obviously, your team's doing really well and you got great things coming here and looking forward to at the end of the season. Is there still anything on your self-evaluation of your team that, you know, with the amount of season you want to play, you want to get that state championships, you still want to be playing as long as you possibly can, something that you want to see them do a little better of, because you're like, we need to be a little bit more consistent on this down the stretch?
I'm probably going to contradict myself a little bit here, but I would like us to see us be a little more aggressive, just in terms of kind of giving up the blue line and things like that. I think we do a really good job in it, but I think it's something that we can be even a little bit better at. I think our penalty kill has been pretty strong throughout the year, but I still think that there's some room for improvement there. We have been fortunate enough to have solid penalty killers where we've gotten some shorthanded goals, and sometimes we're able to kind of turn it into some pressure that we can create. Sometimes we forget maybe we're on the penalty kill because we are still able, you know, sometimes to generate offense and things like that. So, you know, against some of these teams that we're going to see down the stretch, just being more disciplined kind of on the penalty kill, being a little bit more disciplined in our D zone, and making sure that we're not making the extra move just because sometimes we can. When we face Green Bay, when we face Superior, Hayward, or, you know, whoever we're going to see down the stretch, we need to just sometimes lock in a little bit more and be a little bit more disciplined just in the things that we do.
I'm always amazed at when you hear all the successes of the Central Wisconsin Storm, and yet I think it would just be harder than having all kids out of one school. You know what I mean? They have to come together. You don't get to spend the whole school day. They're not goofing around in class together. Do you have to do anything extra to bridge that gap because it's a co-op and they're from a handful of different schools?
I think absolutely we do, and I think that the girls do a good job of it on their own. I mean, a lot of them get to play together, you know, if they're playing youth growing up or sometimes on a selects team or a Team Wisconsin or things like that. But you can kind of tell throughout the season, it takes just a little bit longer to kind of get into some of those rhythms. And I harp on them sometimes about, you know, getting on the ice early for practice if we can get on, especially at Marathon Park. But these girls are all chit-chatting in the locker room, but they don't get to see each other all day at school. They didn't see so-and-so at lunch. Mm-hmm. They didn't see so-and-so in the hallway. And maybe so-and-so had a good day or a bad day that they want to tell their friend about. So it's different. It's a different dynamic, and it just takes a little bit of getting used to, you know. And you know, we begin our season with an overnight at the school forest, which I think has become kind of, you know, a favorite thing for the girls. But I think that's something right away from the beginning of the season. We do the overnight, and we, you know, break them up. And we do a lot of team building activities. We do a lot of goal setting. And then we do some fun things like some minute to win it games and, you know, some other fun things like that. But it's a kind of a chance for them to get to know each other a little bit more, because, yes, they don't all go to school together. And then you have freshmen coming in that are, you know, different schools, and that the seniors or juniors might not, you know them at all. So it's definitely a little bit of a different dynamic, and I don't know that I have the perfect recipe for bringing them all together, but they seem to do a good job of it on their own. It just seems to kind of take a little bit more time to get all that going.
I know coaches never like to look ahead. I know you have a game tomorrow, makeup game against Medford, but since I'm not going to be there, it almost doesn't count. I'll be over in Green Bay on Saturday night, and it may not be the Wisconsin Prep Hockey game of the week, but it will be our game of the week. No, so guys at Prep Hockey, I know you guys, this is about travel and all that stuff. But you do have Bay Area, and they've been number one, I think, all season long, if I'm not mistaken. You played them in the state championship game a year ago. And it's interesting. Remember last year, they came over to Green Heck and dominated you in that game. I mean, it was you took a great goaltending performance by Claire to keep you in and lost in overtime, but then you were able to come back and win in the state championship game. What do you know about this version of Bay Area? What do you expect on Saturday?
There's a reason they've been number one all year. I mean, there really is. When you look at their team from top to bottom, they're really deep. They have a lot of talent, and they have a lot of quality girls. They roll three lines. They roll 6D. They're just really deep, and every line has talent. And they didn't lose much from last year. You know, obviously for a team that lost in the, you know, state championship game, but I expect a good game. And you're right, they came to here last year, they kicked our butt for three quarters of that game at least, and you know, obviously we responded really well in the state championship game. But they have a new coach who I don't know a lot about, but I know that people I've talked to and people that he's coached some of the girls in some spring and fall type of things throughout their hockey careers, I'll have a lot of respect for him. And, you know, from what I know, is a really quality coach that they, you know, were able to secure. So I know that they have a quality group of seniors, a big group of seniors, and talented juniors that it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough game in their barn, you know, this late in the season where everyone wants to be playing their best hockey, and, you know, a little state championship rematch. It took a while to get to it, but, you know, it's a look at, you know, what could maybe be in a couple weeks. And we'll need to be playing our best hockey. Our goal is to, we've been fortunate enough to, I'd say for 95% of our games, roll three lines. You know, we really have been rolling just the 4D, but we're going to need to be able to do that, to be able to play with them and keep with them for the whole game. We shortened our bench at the state tournament, and there were moments where I wasn't sure if it was going to work or not, where I thought that they might be able to wear us down. So I think that's the biggest thing is with their depth, with their talent, can we, A, limit the shots, limit the quality scoring chances. Their first line is hands down probably the best line in the state. So can we shut them down? And then when we need to shut them down, who are we taking out of our game to be able to do that? So those are just, you know, things we're all thinking about going into Saturday. And I think it'll be a great, you know, I think it'll be a great hockey game. I think it's going to be fairly evenly matched, and we'll see how it unfolds.
Seems like it's always a good one. I mean, I remember, I don't know if it was 2 years ago, or things were all together.
Yeah.
Last time I went over there for a Storm Bay Area game, it was another great game. I think it was an overtime. I mean, it feels like there's always...
We played them twice last year. We went there in December, and we won in overtime.
Yes.
And then they came here for the last game of the year, and they beat us in overtime. We ended up 5-on-3. We took 2 penalties in overtime. But they had outshot us. They dominated a lot of that game. And we were coming out. We had like 3 games in a row, and kind of a weird end to the year.
Yes, I remember that, yeah.
It was kind of, but again, but they not any discredit to them, because they definitely took
sometimes
it to
you
us
need that,
game.
Don't you?
Yeah, it was probably a good wake up call for us actually heading into the end of the season. And I think Saturday will be too. You know, whatever happens, I know that it's good for us to play a team like that right now and know where you need to be if you want to make that final run. So.
And I always find those are tough games, because you're going in there, you want to play well, you want to do everything. But this was always my thoughts when we had somebody so we could see somebody so quick again. Do I keep anything back? Do I have to throw the whole? Do I throw the whole my whole
it's
hand
like
out?
It's like you're reading my mind.
Do I throw the whole? Well, do I throw the whole hand out at him? I saw that. I better remember that, because I might want to put that wrinkle in the next time. It's just it as much fun as it is, and you know you want to get that W because it sends a message. It's like, what do you come out of there? How much rethinking and analyzing? So I don't know. Do you take the approach from your coaching philosophy that we're just going to do what we got to do to play our best brand of hockey, and I'll figure that type out, or I'm going to see how the game plays out. Am I going to hold a little something back, or I've got something on the back burner that they've never seen all season long, or we're going to throw it out of the net? I mean, how do you analyze that? Your coaching style.
It's like you're in my mind for the last. I mean, I was thinking that, you know, last Saturday before the Superior game too, of, you know, we could see them again so quick, but we had a lot more on the line with the number one seed and again Saturday we still do too. If we were to make it to state, if they're to make it to state, you know, that's the number one seed at the state tournament on the line too, which given the brackets and the teams that could make it, that number one seed is would be a good spot to be sitting in, kind of like it was last year. So I mean, my game plan is we're going to see how it plays out. You know, I think for the most part, stick to our game plan. I want to run 3 lines. I want to see how far we can get with doing that, how deep they are, and if all 3 of our lines can compete with all 3 of their lines. You know, they're going to have last line change because we're in their rink. So it'll be interesting to kind of see if they're trying to match their lines with us or how that's going to work. So there'll be some gamesmanship, I'm sure. And I'm not going to throw anything crazy out there on Saturday, but I'm also hoping that if I need to learn something to throw something crazy out down the road, then
I'll
know
that
too.
Yeah, and the good news is that coach is in the same boat too, probably
exactly.
Thinking the same exact stuff.
Yep.
So.
And finally, this group of seniors especially has won 2 state championships. And it was funny when, I think it was when Ava was here, and I asked her, what game does she remember most? It was the one they lost to Hayward. So often that's the case where, you know, as wonderful as winning, sometimes losing hurts even more. Do you think this group is getting excited? Do you feel that after the brackets came out and now that it's almost playoff time, do you sense that, you know, putting on that business suit and ready to get to work?
Yeah, I do. I given them a hard time. We played Eau Claire and we went into overtime with Eau Claire, and Hayward had lost to Eau Claire earlier in the year, which was a pretty big upset. And Eau Claire played us really tough and we outshot them by a lot, but we were going into overtime and I looked at the girls and I said, there is a Tuesday night trip to Hayward on the line right now, just so you know. And it's something we've talked about. You know, the 3 of us at the top of our section are so close. And you don't want to go to Hayward on a Tuesday night. The sectional finals in Superior, and that's going to be, you know, bad enough. But that home ice advantage and those bus trips, they wear on you, and they're a lot. And so I could feel it. After we beat Superior, Madeline Kelter looked at me across the locker room and she said, does this mean we don't have to go to Hayward on a Tuesday night, coach? And I said, sure does, kid. So it's... I feel like they're ready. I really feel like they've played well the last couple of weeks. They were ready for that Superior game. And like I said, part of that was me as a coach realizing how they need to be ready. And how I expect them to get ready isn't necessarily, I don't think, how this group does it and does it well. And so I think we all learned something last week. But they seem ready. They seem excited. They've been, you know, good attitude, showed up. They've been working hard. And they have big goals. So I think they're ready for them.
Channel Wimmer of the Storm.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Believe it or not, it is once again time for Wisconsinites to head to the polls and vote. I know, we all have a bit of election fatigue after 2024, but the spring election primary is coming up on Tuesday, February 18th. One race that will be on every ballot statewide for the spring primary is for state superintendent. Incumbent Jill Underley is seeking another term, and two candidates are challenging her. Jeff Wright, superintendent for Sauk Prairie Schools, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant and former charter school executive. Kinzer's candidacy, in particular, is gaining steam. Her campaign reported raising more than $500,000, far more than what Underley or Wright have brought in. With that type of financial support, this could prove to be a more competitive race for state superintendent than what we've seen in quite some time. This is becoming a real race to watch.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwig created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created more than 80 years ago? It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, Wausau's home for Up North News Radio.
Chad Home Show, 98.9 WXCO. Time is 9:52 on this Thursday morning. It is the 13th day of February of 2025, day number 44 this year. There are 321 days remaining in the year 2025. Some famous events have occurred on this date in history. In 1635, that is, if my math is correct, 390 years ago today, the first public school in the United States, Boston Latin School, was founded. On this date in 1866, Jesse James and his gang committed the first armed bank robbery in the United States history during peacetime in Liberty, Missouri. On this date in 2004, the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics announced the discovery of the universe's largest known diamond, white dwarf star BPM 37093. Astronomers named this star Lucy after the Beatles song Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. On this date in 2017, Harrison Ford was involved in a near miss while flying a plane at John Wayne Airport in Orange County, California.
Oh, man.
And on this date in 2019, NASA confirmed Mars Opportunity rover's mission had ended after 15 years due to a sandstorm damaging its communications. Birthdays, Stocker Channing, actor, 81 years old today. Former Duke basketball coach Mike Krzyzewski, 78. Actor Mina Suvari from American Beauty is 46. And celebrity offspring Prince Jackson, 28 years old today. Wonder what he does for a living. But probably doesn't have to work. The Michael Jackson empire probably left him a lot of money. But he still should be doing something to stay active. I have no idea what Prince Jackson might be doing. I have to maybe take a look and see what is happening. Some special events. Extraterrestrial Culture Day. It is Pancake Day. It is Mardi Gras. It is Employee Legal Awareness Day. It is Get a Different Name Day. Huh. It is Cheddar Day. It is Italian Food Day. It is Tortellini Day.
Oh, yeah.
And this one is a good one for us.
Yeah?
It is World Radio Day.
Oh.
Celebrate radio today, folks. Keep it tuned in right here the entire day.
Absolutely.
All righty, then.
Yeah. It's the big one.
It is time for the number for the day quiz.
Yep, and every day I take a number of the day quiz on a random topic. I get three choices, and based on the math, I should get one out of three correct during the week. And so far, I've done that. I got one out of three, but
still have some work to do.
Yes, I have to get today right in order to secure a passing week. And if I do that, I get tomorrow's right as well. Hopefully, I can make it a winning week.
There you go.
But right now, I just need to focus on today for the passing grade.
Yep. So, today?
Americans' savings, I believe.
Yep.
Is what it was?
Yep.
All right.
A recent survey shows what percentage of Americans have nothing saved. They don't have savings.
A recent survey. How many
percent? What percentage of Americans have nothing saved?
Okay, what are my choices?
Is the correct answer 25%? Is the correct answer 45%?
Wow.
Is the correct answer 65%?
25, 45, or 65% of Americans who have nothing saved.
Nada.
It's based on a recent survey, so... okay. 25, 45, or 65... Okay, I want to go with my gut here. Just, I don't overthink it. Just what's the first thing that pops into your head? Okay, I'm going to say percentage of Americans who have nothing saved is 25%. I'm going with, hey, as my final answer, I'll lock it in 25%.
A recent survey shows 45% of Americans have nothing saved.
It's actually quite a big percentage of people.
It is. So now one for four this week.
Oh, boy.
25%.
Tomorrow's the big one.
It's below the line. It leaves everything on the line tomorrow.
Like we talk about, though, the pressure element does help. I also hope I can take that pressure and pull it a win tomorrow.
Yep. We're going to look forward to that. Have a good rest of your day.
You too, Chad. Happy Thursday, everybody. Stay warm out there and watch the roads.
Coming up tonight, join me again at 6:50. Wausau West Warrior High School Hockey at Nina Hortonville Menasha. Warriors number 5 ranked in the state. Nina is number 3. So good matchup. Wrap up the regular season. 6:50 right here on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.FM. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Stick around, Matt and Air on Air coming up next here on 98.9 WXCO. Radio, down on my
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Maggie Dawn.
Tariffs, inflation, and shutdowns, oh my. How Donald Trump is stealing the financial futures of Wisconsin families. We discuss with Tom Paulswitz next.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. When it rains, it'll pour in Los Angeles today. CBS meteorologist Rob Marciano says it could trigger mud and debris slides in areas hard hit by last month's wildfires.
There's been preps going on all day, all week, really, in anticipation of this well-forecast atmospheric river, which has already brought over 4 inches of rainfall to Northern California, specifically just outside of San Francisco.
Police in Germany say at least 28 people were hurt when a 24-year-old Afghan suspect plowed his car into a crowd of union demonstrators in Munich. The BBC's Damian McGinnis.
We don't know the motivation. Nothing has been said about any potential political affiliation or ideology.
The European Union pushing back against President Trump's plan to negotiate an end to the war in Ukraine with Vladimir Putin. EU Foreign Policy Chief Kaja Kallas.
Any quick fix is a dirty deal, and it will just simply not work.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.